here with Alan Mearns of Airspace.
Ask because I have absolutely no sense of fashion whatsoever or care about it. But I'll tell you what I'm wearing. I'm wearing some Tempur-Pedic slippers and some crappy jeans from Target and a rather ominous looking Radiohead t-shirt.
Which one?
I think it's kind of like a Kid A type one. Little teddy bear with teeth. Ice caps melting, DNA breeding, etc. Kind of an apocalyptic Radiohead t-shirt, but that's me. Yeah, I was wearing basketball shorts and just slippers until I just had a shower. So,
but you showered and got dressed up for this interview, I see.
I did. I dressed especially for this interview.
That's good. That makes me feel very important. So how have you spent your Friday so far?
Spent my Friday? Well, I got up at about 10 and started with the coffee intravenously and, just noodled around on the guitar and was looking after my two kids. Did a little bit of, school with them, preschool,
great.
Really.
Great. How old are your kids?
One and three.
Oh, great. So you won't mind if you hear my kids in the background screaming?
Not at all.
That's
I'm
good.
I'm pleased to it. Pleased to it. And then just kind of hung out in the backyard and by the sandbox, trying to build sandcastles, and just trying to write a few songs, finish up some ideas while they're playing, and now they're taking their nap. So
good timing. Tonight. And what did you have for breakfast besides coffee?
Don't really eat breakfast, I'm more of a just coffee person. If I do, it's usually Chex. You get certain cereals over here that are slightly similar to ones that you have back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have like Shreddies back home, which I adore. And you make these discoveries. So you do like, the wheat Chex are the same as Shreddies,
That's good to know.
Or little magic things like that, just to make you feel, more at home. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I'll start
with
lunch. Some real questions now. Airspace is a band that spans two continents, from what I understand. So why don't you first tell our listeners the story of Airspace and how you all ended up together?
Right. Well, I had started a band with a bass player, John Coogan, who's a big Georgia boy.
Mm-hmm.
Real Southern boy, and we were friends and just decided to give it a go and went through several members and stuff and that, didn't click as well. And then we kind of hired young Alex Watson, who's just a wee lad, he's just basically out of high school, but, an amazing drummer. He's also a Southern boy from the US&A. And then we were playing a show one time, the three of us, and then Jimmy Brown just showed up in the audience because he heard about us and he heard I was from Belfast. He had just moved over to the Carolinas, so I just kind of dedicated a song to him or something because he's from Belfast, and we kind of became friends and just kind of gelled, the rest is history, just kind of. The rest is work, really. that's the basic gist of it.
Great. I was just going to ask you to describe each of your bandmates. the ones that aren't here, because now this is your opportunity. Yeah, you can
I would describe them.
you can describe them. You can spread rumors about them,
Oh,
really.
well, you know, this is just, you know, because this can't be used in a court of law. I'll have to have some talk to my lawyers about this, but well, James, lead guitar player, is, I don't know, kind of a race car of a person, you know, if you know what I mean. Hard to describe, you know. He kind of looks like a racing car, and he's got a personality to match. He's a bit of a wild card. Definitely speaks his mind. We call him Jumpin' Jimmy Brown. We've got this friend, and he also lives in North Carolina, a fellow Irishman, this poet, and he's kind of given us all names, you know. So we call him Jumpin' Jimmy Brown, and then we Alex, because he's so energetic, and we call him the Beast, Alex the Beast Watson, you know. And he's kind of very lovable yet forgetful. Kind of ha spends half his time on planet Earth and half somewhere else. I'm not quite sure, but he's wonderfully, you know, honest and really beautiful personality, really easy to get along with. And then John is probably the only person in the band who has, like, absolutely one of the few people in the world actually who has, like, zero bullshit like in his personality and tolerance. So he's like kind of this, like, steadfast anchor for us more crazy ones. And he's just wonderfully generous and seemingly quiet, but if you get him aroused, like if you get into a fight, like, he'll stick the head into someone, like, you know. He's what we call good backings back home, and so we call him Cool Hand Coogan.
That's
Just
great.
for last. So we don't, like, actually call each other that. That's, like, more of an official, you know, nickname or whatever. Hey,
Sure.
Cool Hand Coogan. It's Bon John.
Right. How would your bandmates describe you?
I don't know. Asshole. Hey, no. I couldn't really tell you. Probably just an extremely beautiful man, extremely mysterious, slightly melancholy, but mainly just really beautiful and intelligent and funny. That's probably the main things, really.
All right, so what's the most important thing that people should know about airspace?
Well, we are just deeply committed and passionate about music, really. You know, we're all kind of just music addicts in a sense. Pretty much all, well, maybe me more than the others, but we're kind of useless at everything else we do, so it's kind of like the only thing we can do. So we're very much stuck in music world and kind of hope to have a very long career of high quality, uncompromising pop music, you know.
Very good.
And, you know, just following after our influences and just hopefully do something kind of spectacular eventually. We're ambitious in a healthy way, and
Great.
we enjoy making music. You know, just the process of, you know, playing and practicing and writing is in itself a, you know, a reward for us, you know.
Wonderful.
Building a castle for our dreams. It seems like you had one once. Over the hills and far away. To help us all escape. Burning bridges up ahead. A suffering.
at our website, you'll see that Pirate Pods, our goal is to take a peek inside of creative minds. So that said, can you tell me what your mind looks like? What does it sound like? What does it smell like?
My mind is, it's kind of always kind of haunted, I guess, by mm-hmm. beauty. You know, beauty just being that kind of essential quality that I'm interested in music or visual arts or whatever. Uh-huh. Just that kind of sense of some kind of truth that you can't really put into words.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm always kind of fishing for, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
with my music. When, you know, whether I have a guitar with me or a piano or... I'm just kind of always got my line in the water, in a sense, lyrically too, just trying to fish for things that are seem kind of real and beautiful. It's a bit of a whirlwind. I'm not exactly a very organized person, but I do get very serious when I'm writing and kind of go into another world, really, where things are more transmitted than created, really. So it's kind of almost a meditative state I can get into, just in a crowded room. If I have a guitar, I can just disappear, really,
mm-hmm.
into my mind. So,
if you could sit down and have a drink with any three musicians, living or dead, who would you choose?
Three musicians?
Uh-huh.
Oh, like pop musicians?
Well, any musicians, living or dead.
Well, I'd have to make kind of a slight distinction, you know, with art music, you know,
uh-huh.
and... high art music, you know, and obviously that would be, you know, Bach and Mozart and probably Chopin,
mm-hmm.
maybe Debussy. The pop world, flip me, that's so hard, like only three, desperate. Well, obviously Paul McCartney's a real genius, but I'd have to put John Lennon in there,
mm-hmm.
just because I feel a little bit more kind of in common with him, you know. I guess, like, Tom York, you know, is that, you know, I would say kind of the heir to Lennon-type genius, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're a pretty obvious one, Be Bono, you know, for just their amazing music and lyrics. And
right.
Great kind of what they've done humanitarian-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then there's ones in the, you know, slightly more in the fringes, you know, like
right.
Frank Black, you know, and the Pixies. And
oh, I'd love to sit down with Frank Black.
Uh-huh. From the Strokes, I think he's pretty genius overall. Like, you know, so there's all kind of, and Bob Dylan, I mean, how can
mm-hmm.
you not say Bob Dylan, like, you know.
Sure.
Just to me, I don't really put Bob Dylan in a human category, really, you know. More like a, you know, some kind of quest to meet Bob Dylan, and my life will be finished.
It's on your list of things to do before you die.
Right.
All right.
Well, I actually, if I meet him, I don't know if I could survive it. But so that's six for you.
So what song has been stuck in your head lately?
There's a song by a band called Spinto Band called Oh Mandy. Pretty dreamy, beautiful song, pretty awesome. Caribou by the Pixies.
Mm-hmm. Great song.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what's coming to mind. Obviously, lots of, I love that new Arcade Fire song, No Cars Go, off their new album's pretty magic, you know.
So Roger Greenawalt said I should ask about him. What can you tell me about Roger?
Oh, the Roger?
The Roger.
Well, I think he's kind of like a real-life musical pirate, you know?
Uh-huh.
Kind of floating the seas of the New York underground,
mm-hmm.
looking for treasure. So I think he heard us and, you know, liked it and thought there might be a wee treasure map there. So he brought us into his onto his ship, and we just recorded a wee song, and that, you know, great. I mean... The initial impression I get of anyone is whether they're a Beatles fan or not. You know, and if not, I just kind of lose all musical respect for them, like, instantly. So he's a massive Beatles fan. I just looked at his books on his wall,
uh-huh.
and I was like, okay, you know, this guy's all right. You know? but you know, he's very interesting. You know, slightly eccentric in a good way. Just that kind of wonderful producer you'd only get in New York, you know. He's also played on a Rufus Wainwright record, you know, which is pretty, he's one of my favorite songwriters, so that was pretty cool.
Do you believe in Santa Claus?
It's funny you should say that. I was just writing a song about a child who lives, was very mysterious, off the sea, you know, and Santa never goes out that far towards the sea because he took a fall and landed in the ocean. So, no, I don't, to be honest, but I do like to write songs about the idea of Santa Claus. It's obviously, you know, kind of a god-type character, you know, kind of a symbol, really, for the hopeful ideal that there's, as Beethoven stole the lyrics for in his Ninth Symphony, that surely beyond the canopy of the stars, there's a father who loves us, you know, so I kind of see Santa Claus as a human projected image of that desire, you know, for kind of an omniscient, loving being, you know, so, in a sense I do, but not coming down the chimney and all that stuff.
Good answer. No, before each interview, I meditate on what questions I should ask, and that Santa Claus question popped into my head today. I don't know why.
I tend to be a little
psychic about these things.
Well, that is a little bit sad, because I was just writing a song, you know, the other day that really, you know, and him and his brother, because they don't get any Christmas, him and his brother like to dive into the ocean and look for the obvious presents that have fallen off Santa's sleigh that time he hit the water, you know. So it's...
That's wonderful.
I like whimsical things like that. I like the idea of Santa Claus, a little bit of magic. That's what's good about that Spinto Band song, that Mandy song. You know, it's really, really kind of magical, you know.
Do you have a defining moment in your life, or, you know, like a light bulb moment when you realized that you wanted to play music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I've always been kind of, as I say, kind of addicted to music in a sense. I still can't play video games at all because I don't have any childhood experience, you know. I was always stuck in my room playing the guitar, you know, that kind of kid where my mom had to call me out to get my dinner. And, you know, I started playing the violin and stuff when I was five, but that was more of not necessarily a passion or whatever, but I was pretty good at it. But then I switched to guitar. One of my brother's mates was playing like Johnny B. Goode or something, an acoustic guitar, and I just thought it was like the coolest thing, you know, just watching his fingers move, and so I had to get a guitar. My dad saw me plucking out a Freebird solo on my violin, you know, and he's like, well, we'll have to get him a guitar, and so I got a guitar when I was about 10, and I'd always kind of known since then, you know, do music, you know, it's only thing I'm really good at. So
what other jobs have you had? Have you ever done anything else?
No, I've had to teach guitar, you know, make ends meet, and
that's great.
That's really the only thing I've done.
That's wonderful. Do you have any last words, anything you'd like to say?
I hope that I don't know, they can end poverty in my generation, and America will become what it was meant to be, you know, a beacon of true freedom, you know, and et cetera, and hope to be a part of associating with that, you know, and peace on earth, et cetera, et cetera. Goodwill towards all men.
Very nice. All right, my final question, and I know this one's going to be good, and I'm stereotyping you because you're Irish, but I'll do it anyway. Will you please give me your best impression of a pirate?
Oh, pirates aren't Irish.
Well, you know, but you have the perfect accent. It will sound good, I know, but...
Har har, me hearties. Where's my lucky charms? Where's a pirate that's part leprechaun?
All right, great. Well, thank you, Alan. It was so great to talk to you.
It was a pleasure.
Sailing away. My sword. And just to be.